Live, brought to you from the Eternal Word Television Studios in Birmingham, Alabama.
Of Jesus.
The most glorious work of all, to praise God in his kingdom.
Moved by the Spirit.
Anyone who lives in love lives in God. And God lives in him.
What a wonderful thing is our church. This whole network is built on trust. The essence of evangelization is to tell everybody Jesus loves you. We are all called to be great saints. Don't miss the opportunity.
Well, hi. Hello. I'm back. I'm back, and I missed you. I really did. I don't particularly want to talk about pain tonight, although I think it just a little bit, okay? I don't think some of us realize that when our dear Lord blesses us with something like I've had for the last 3 or 4 weeks or 5 weeks, it's a blessing. And the reason we don't realize it is, Padre Pio said, if we realized the power of suffering any kind, you could just have a simple headache, we would covet it. Well, I don't know anybody that covets it. But it's a true, it's a truth, you see. Because pain, suffering, even if you worry about your children, these are all crosses. And there are many of these today, many. People getting divorces after 30, 35 years. It's hard. Well, but you see, if I can bear it patiently, if I can bear it for souls, see, then it has eternal consequences. That means for all eternity, I will merit another degree of glory, another degree of knowledge of God, another degree of merit, another degree of being able to see God face to face. Awesome. Awesome. So you have to remember, any cross you have is going to go into eternity and give you a greater vision of God. You know, the great Saint Teresa of Avila said that she would suffer to the end of time if she could have one more degree of glory in the kingdom. See, so we really have to know for sure. And some people, cross is loneliness. Loneliness. I mean, older people in convalescent homes that nobody visits, people in apartments, especially big city apartments. All of this is suffering, you know? It don't have to be physical pain. It could be heart pain, that you're lonely. It can be a mental pain, see? So any pain at all has eternal consequence. That means I'm going to, for all eternity, see God more clearly. I'm going to understand God in a better way. So we shouldn't be disheartened when our dear Lord does things that we're not too happy about. Think for a minute. The great God thought about it, put my name on it. But you see, he had to think of me in this very special way. And he trusts me, trusts you. He trusts me to bear it like him, see? So not only do I have to have trust in God, he has trust in me. Did you ever think of that? Huh? God trusts you when he gives you a cross. He trusts you that you're going to bear it patiently and lovingly. What a grace that the great God who made all things trusts me. And so let's think of that part of the pain in our life. You know, we always have pain. And we have annoyances. Like right now, I have a little annoyance. Say what? I got to blow my nose. I got to blow my nose. And you're not supposed to blow your nose on television. You're just not supposed to do it. And I got a wrinkled old handkerchief. Must be in my pocket a week. Anyway, so what do? I can't pretend I don't have it. If I do, it's drip, drip, drip. So what do? Well, if God trusts me to have a runny nose, I think you trust me to use my handkerchief. See, that was easy. Didn't cost you anything, did it? Now, some people on television have a breakdown or blowing their nose. Well, who cares, for goodness sake? You got a nose, so you got to blow it sometimes. So, this is what the Hebrews say. The first chapter. It says, she's talking about Jesus now. He is the radiant light of God's glory. Oh, awesome. The radiant light of God's glory. And he loves me. And he loves you. See? Nobody would be lonely. Because the great God loves you. We don't know that. I was surprised when we first came to Birmingham at 38 years ago. That I saw people, good Catholics too, who didn't know God loved them personally, as if no one else existed. Now you say, well, I don't understand. There's 6 billion people in the world. I'm a speck of sand on the seashore. No. Mm-mm. Because God is God. He loves you as if there wasn't another person in the world. Because he's God. See, if I think of two things at one time, something's going to go. You know? I mean, I'm going to make a mistake. I can't think of two things at one time. I can't give that total attention. I can't. You can't either. And you can't love two people the same way you love two other people. See? You can't. You love some people one way. You love your husband different than your children. You love your children different than your friends. And you love friends different than acquaintances. So I see, we're all mixed up. Because we're not able to love like God loves. He's asked us to. But you know what it means? He says, I love you, you must love each other. Well, that's wonderful. But how does God love me? He loves me as I am. Oh. Weak, puny, imperfect. He loves me. Well, do I love everybody weak, puny, and imperfect? I don't say anybody going whoopee-doo. Because we don't, you see. We don't. But we should. We should. Because I have to love my neighbor where he is and as he is. And I can't make him over. Only God can do that. And we'd be so much happier if we loved everybody. See, we don't know why people do things. We don't know their culture, their education, their IQ. I'm glad nobody knows my IQ. It was 90. That's pretty low, isn't it? Somewhere. I mean, it's pretty down there. I remember the day I took that test, I was bored. I don't remember answering half of it. Because I thought, this is stupid. I turned out to be the stupid one, see? But that's okay. That's okay. The world tells you you have to be always on top. And the Lord says, no, blessed are the humble. Blessed are the humble. See, because it's so different. Our dear Lord, in this wonderful book, it says everything different than the world. Okay, the world said you have to be famous and you have to do this, you have to do that. And the Lord said, are you humble? Do you love me? Huh? Do you love me? Did Jesus ever say that to you? You say, oh no, he don't talk to me. Oh, yes he does. You may not like what he's saying, but he talks to everybody. Talks to everybody. And then there are people. The other night we went because my leg was swelling and we didn't know what was wrong with it, so we had to go to emergency and see what was wrong with it. And there was a terrible accident. On the outside, on the lawn of the emergency room, was a little pot or thing, whatever it was, and it was that much of blood in it. And I thought, oh, I prayed for that person then and during the night, because it was sudden, see? But if they died, and I'm almost sure they would have, they saw God face to face. Isn't that awesome, huh? That you could see him face to face. And then we'll know that he is the radiant light of God's glory and the perfect copy of his nature. Mm. That's the God who loves me and loves you. If you woke up in the morning, try, for the rest of Lent, okay? Try to say, oh, he loves me. He loves me. Oh, that's a grace, isn't it, huh? Don't you like that? He loves me. A reminder of a truth. It's not imaginary. He loves me. And he loves with a love no one else has for you. We all want to be loved exclusively. Yeah, we do. That's why there's jealousy in the world. It's kind of stupid too. Jealousy. But we all want to be loved special and exclusively. And you are by God. You are by God loved special. And it says here, he sustains the universe by his powerful command. Oh. Oh, wow. He loves me. This powerful God loves me. That's a meditation forever. Because most people feel unloved. And you know what the bad part of it is? They don't love themselves. How sad. That's a commandment. The second commandment is that I love you as I love me. Well, if you don't love you, then who do you love? You ever think of that? If you say, oh, I'm a great sinner, well, join the crowd. We're all great sinners, you know? You say, well, I had an abortion and I can't forgive myself. Well, if God forgave you and you went to confession, why don't you forgive yourself? Oh, it's not that easy. Why are you talking yourself out of God's grace? See? There's no sin in the world greater than his mercy. There's a few more wonderful things here. It says, every day, as long as this today it lasts, well, it's, what is it, 2,000 years? I'm having a hard time putting 2,000 down, are you? I keep going 1999 and it's gone. And it says, where was I? Here. Keep encouraging one another so that none of you is hardened by the lure of sin. See? The greatest catastrophe in the world is sin. It's nothing. Nothing else. Because sin can have eternal consequences, see? Forever, ever, 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 ever. And because everything is so short to us, you know, can you believe that this is April? I mean, I don't know whether it's me or what, but it seems like time is passing so fast. Y'all agree with that? But anyway, so we have to help one another. Instead of saying something nasty about somebody, say something nice. I said that to a woman not too long ago. She said, if you live with my husband, you couldn't find anything nice. I said, well, maybe if I asked him, he'd say the same thing. We can always be nice. We can always be loving. And that's what St. Paul is saying. Because we shall remain co-heirs with Jesus only if we keep a grasp of our first confidence. Some of you may be converts. Do you remember when you first got the faith? You know, you were so enthused, and then you went and told a Catholic, been Catholic since they were born, and they say, what? Well, aren't you enthused? About what? Don't you want to hit him on the head? About what? Don't you know? I think I do. What'd you have in mind? Well, if you look at that new convert, oh, you got to take him out. He's so cute. Hi, sweetheart. Bye. Anyway, you see, we've been born into the church, many of us. We have to have the same enthusiasm. Why aren't you enthused over the Eucharist, huh? You got to have Jesus with you. You can go in any chapel, any Catholic chapel, and find him. Find him. Well, somewhere you find him, but you can find him. And you can always sit there. You know why? Because he's waiting for you. He is. See, we can't imagine God waiting for me or you. It's only because we don't know how much he loves us. Here tonight, you were waiting for me. See, and I was waiting for you. I wanted to come and say hi. And I said, Lord, don't make me cry. Because I said, if I start crying, I'll never stop. But I was happy to see you. Really happy. Well, then I'm a poor creature. If I miss you and you miss me, that's love. But why can't we do that with everybody? Especially your children, your loved ones, your husband, your wife. Well, you've been married, say, 50 years. Well, you don't know each other by that time. I mean, there's nothing you can either one of you do that you haven't done before or you know about. You know, I gave a talk one time down in Florida, Clearwater, in fact. And that week, we got so many letters from women and men who said they were married 30 years, 35 years. That made me kind of mad. And so during my talk, which I never prepare, but I don't know what's coming up. And so I said to them, you know, we got all these letters this week of people who are leaving their spouse after 25, 30, 35 years. And I said, I just want you men to know that your bald head is no morning sunrise. I thought Father Bertolucci was going to fall off his chair. And I don't know what made me say that. You know, the people were hysterical, just hysterical. And I looked around with quite a few men with bald heads. And then I wanted to say, there's no fool like an old fool. Okay? But I said instead, there's no goat like an old goat. Okay? And this woman came up to me afterwards, and she said, "Oh, Mother, you're so funny. You're better than Bob Hope." I said, "Now, I like Bob Hope, and his wife are good, dear friends of ours. I hope he's not listening." But at that point, I didn't want to be Bob Hope, see. And you know what? I didn't give a talk for a whole year. I thought I flipped and flopped all over the place because I didn't want them to, I wanted them to get the point, see. And so a year later, a woman stopped over at the monastery and she said, "Oh, do you remember Clearwater?" I said, "I remember Clearwater." And I said some other things beside that, see. I told them about the woman who came to me and said her two children hadn't spoken to each other for 2 years. I said, "Why?" She said, "Well, their grandma died, and she was very wealthy. She left half to each one." I said, "I buy it. I wouldn't bother me if I left half and somebody else got the other half." "No, no, you don't understand." I said, "Well, I guess I don't." She said, "They're arguing over, oh, God, what was it? A commode." I said, "A commode?" She said, "Yeah." I said, "A commode, commode?" She said, "Yes." She said, "You don't understand." I said, "I sure don't." She said, "It's inlaid." "Oh, it's inlaid. An inlaid commode. Can you imagine being in hell and somebody saying to you, 'What are you here for?'" And they say, "An inlaid commode." I said, "Oh, an inlaid commode. Well, what do you know about that?" "Well, you go home and tell your two daughters that Mother Angelica said they should take turns putting their head in it." It seemed like the perfect solution for me. See. Now, we do silly things like that. But this woman came and she said, "Mother, I remembered every word you said." I said, "You did?" She said, "And you know it changed my life." I said, "You're kidding." She said, "No." I began to laugh at myself. I began to love myself. And I began to love my neighbor. We're all imperfect. Once I realized that, I found others easier to love. Well, that made me feel better. And so I start giving more talk. But you see, my friends, we waste a lot of time in our lifetime being angry over nothings. Nothings. And that's why when St. Paul talks about the radiance of the light of Jesus, or he talks about God through whom all things exist, through whom everything exists, should make perfect through what? Suffering. See? It always go back in this circle. Circle. You and I are in a world and it's not in good shape. We got to get back to God. He's the only peacemaker. He's the only one that can make your heart and head work together. You know, some people are head and some people are heart. They have to be together, both together. Well, he's the only one. So when there's something wrong in your family, don't look at anything else except, why don't we love each other? Because we don't allow our own weaknesses to exist. We want everybody to be perfect. Perfect. To be perfect is to love. Love everyone. And to be tender. You know what tender is? It's a nice word. I've been using it a lot. Because I can be compassionate, not necessarily tender. Tender. A quiet tenderness with my neighbor. Even if you heard her organ recital 20 times, you know. And you've heard about her gallbladder, her kidney, her liver. You've heard at least 5 times in the past week. In fact, you could tell her what's wrong with her. Okay. But if we could tenderly listen, like we heard it for the first time, wouldn't that be wonderful, huh? Wouldn't it be wonderful if you told somebody about your emphysema or something? Well, they know you got emphysema, you can't breathe. Wouldn't it be nice if somebody really listened with real interest? That's tender love. To get back to nitty gritty, you're hungry, you got up late, you're in a hurry to go to work, your wife is in a hurry to feed you, and she burns the eggs. Now what? I mean, who can be tender over burned eggs? You can. Say, oh, that's all right, sweetheart. I like burned things. One of my sisters the other day, she was bringing my lunch, and I was on a liquid diet. And, you know, there's just so many liquids you can drink. I mean, and they don't fill you up. And so finally, I was told I could have a toast. Okay, so I was waiting for that toast. And it came. A bird. She said, Mother, I'm sorry. I thought, oh, don't worry about that, sweetheart. I like bird toast. You say, well, that was the truth. Well, I'm going to like it. Why? Because she made it for me with love. Burn it. What's it? Charcoal's good for you. It's not going to hurt you. But see, if you yell and scream over it, what do? You hurt somebody deeply in here. That's where Jesus lives, in here. Why? Over burnt toast? That don't make any sense. Be tender about it. Say, well, that's okay, sweetheart. I don't mind burnt toast. I'm fine. Now, isn't that better? Isn't that better? Well, by God, can't you do anything but burnt toast? Well, now tell me what good it does. And some people are deeply hurt over little things. Little things. It don't have to be a big thing. See, that's part of Christianity. And that's why St. Paul says, because we remain co-heirs with Christ only if we keep a grasp on our first love. Mm. You read the book of Revelations, huh? Mm. It says down here someplace that except for the Christians of Philadelphia, not our Philadelphia, but the other one. It says, write to the angel of the church of Ephesus and say, here is a message of the one who holds the 7 stars in his right hand. Wow. And that is a sign of the glory of God. I know how you work hard and how much you put up with. And I know you cannot stand wicked men and how you tested the imposters and who called themselves apostles and proved they were liars. It's one of the favorite words in Scripture. I know too you have patience and have suffered for my name. Nevertheless, I have a complaint. You have less love now than you used to. Oh, you see? They did all these wonderful things, but somehow they lost their first love. Well, before the great feast of Easter, and before we begin to see the terrible pain it cost our dear Lord to save you and me, ask yourself, have I lost my first love? And who was that first love? Jesus. That's the first love. My first love. Have I lost it, you see? Now he has to go to Smyrna and he says, here's a message for the first and the last. I know the trials you've had and how poor you are and the slanderous accusations that they made against you. But I do not be afraid of the suffering that are coming. That reminds me of Thief of Babylon. That was some kind of thing. One day she was so depressed over something that happened when her cousin or niece or somebody refused to let her in a monastery. And she was sitting at table, just sitting there, and a plate was in front of her. And our Lord appeared to her. And he took a fork and knife and he began to cut up her food. Isn't that cute? That's sweet. And he looked at her and he said, daughter, be of good cheer. Worse things are coming upon you. I'm glad I wasn't there. Now in Pergamum, he said, I have one or two complaints to make. Some of you are followers of Balaam and commit adultery. Not too good, huh? A woman came out to me one time, she said her husband, her kids found her husband with another woman. I said, well, did you talk to him? She said, yes. I said, well, what did he say? She said, he quoted scripture. He quoted scripture? I said, yes. Do you mind telling me what he quoted? No. He quoted the woman taken in adultery. How do you do that? Well, he said, the Lord said to her, no one condemned thee, woman, neither will I. I said, well, he put the period in the wrong place. It also says, go and sin no more. You see, we even misuse scripture to make things we do right, and they're wrong, 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 wrong. If somebody out there is committing adultery, and I know you are, you better straighten out, buddy. Because the Lord may call, you don't have a chance. Not a chance. So you better wake up fast, because that's where I said I have something against you. Another complaint is that you are encouraging the woman Jezebel, who claims to be a prophetess by her teaching. She is luring my servants to commit adultery. Or another one. He says, revive. This is from the Church of Sardis. Hold on, he said, and repent, because if you do not wake up, I shall come like a thief in the night. Ooh. You say, Mother, you're just trying to scare us. You're absolutely right. I intend to scare the hell out of you. because that's where you're going. I don't want you to go there. I don't want anybody to go there. But I got to be truthful. Even though I love you, I have to be truthful and say, hey, that's not right. You got to change. Now, the church in Philadelphia came out real good. Now, there's another little church coming along. I know all about you, he said. You are neither hot nor cold. I wish you were one or the other. But since you are neither, because you are lukewarm, I will spit you out of my mouth. I hate to tell you, but this is the Lord God talking. See, I don't think he believes all the stories you've been told. Wherever. And we should examine ourselves with good honesty. Am I lukewarm? Do I just kind of glide along and hope for the best? You can't be that way today, isn't it true, huh? You have to fight for the faith. You have to be willing to stand tall and stand alone. That's what the faith is today. And we do this, you see. Lukewarmness comes from a lack of love. Well, we have calls, would you believe it? And I just want you tonight to know I missed you very much. And from all the letters and cards, I know you miss me. But I'm back, and we're going to go on now. A little wobbly, but that'll pass like everything else. And we'll be together and we'll share the light the Lord gives us. So now we have a call. Hello?
Hello, Mother.
Oh, where are you from?
My name is Stephen. I'm from Boston, Massachusetts.
And what is your question?
Well, it's nice to see you back.
Thank you, dear.
My question is about suffering.
Mm-hmm.
When you speak of suffering and you say to thank the Lord for mm-hmm. the suffering, mm-hmm. I understand that as I can use suffering to share in our Lord's suffering and offer it up to him.
Mm-hmm.
But when people say that you should thank the Lord for suffering, how do we know and are we to believe that suffering is given directly from the Lord? How do we know it's not from nature or from our bad behaviors?
If you have a sweetheart, it's from him. It's either his permitting will or his ordaining will. His permitting will permits a lot of things. Sometimes, you're right, we do make our own mistakes. Well, then we use that sickness or trial as a penance for making that mistake. You see, we have to turn things around. Nothing happens in the world, nothing. God doesn't foresee and allow, permit, or ordain. He doesn't look down and say, well, let's see now, I think a good cold or flu would do you good. He doesn't do that. But if you go out and you're already feeling bad, and you go out in cold weather, wet weather, and you get more wet, more cold, you're going to have flu or something. Now, you can't blame God on it. You can't say, why did you give me the flu? He did. You gave yourself the flu by being careless. But that flu, that sickness, whatever it is, you can give to the Lord in reparation for your own sin, the sins of the world, the sins in your family, the sins in your parish. See, everything. Our dear Lord, listen, now look what you're going to see next week. The suffering of Jesus is unbelievable. And the Father sent his Son for that purpose, to redeem us. Jesus knew every suffering, every part of it. It was not a surprise. He told his apostles. They didn't want to believe him. And so he suffered from injustice, of the king. He suffered from, oh, terrible, from Pilate. That was an unjust sentence. He says, well, let's beat him up a little bit and that'll satisfy the people. What a terrible injustice. But see, he suffered from all the things man can do, cruelty. Can you imagine? Because he raised Lazarus from the dead, at that point they were determined to kill him. Does that make any sense? That's what jealousy does. They didn't want that kind of redeemer. They want a king who can deliver them from Rome. But he wasn't. So we can never suffer from injustice when we saw him suffer from injustice. What an unfair trial. And then have somebody come up and lie about him. They knew what he meant when he said, in 3 days I will build this temple again. He knew, because they wouldn't have put soldiers there if they didn't know. They deliberately killed him in the hope that would be it, but it wasn't. You and I were redeemed by what? The worst kind of pain. Suffered by who? The Son of God. And for that reason, it doesn't matter if a sinful life gives you a big cross, then you accept it as your penance. You can turn it to good. And then it doesn't matter if I cut my finger because, you know, finger cuts from paper. They're the worst kind. Oh, they smart, they burn, they do everything. It's paper. Well, I did it. But I can say, Jesus, I give you this little cut here. It's really painful. I'll give it to you. Myself, I gave years ago, 1942. I made the consecration to Our Lady de Montfort. I give her everything. Then I'd feel I don't need to worry about it. I give her everything. And that she can give it to whomever she wants to. See? You can do that. They don't have to worry. Did I do it? Did they do it? Did he do it? Hey, what's the difference? You got it. If your nose running, it's running. What are you going to do about it? You don't have to blame God. Just give it to him. Lord, I give you my runny nose. Why not? I mean, it's miserable. We can give God anything. We have to be as children. Little children, he said. Because they inherit the kingdom of God. Well, don't be afraid to give him everything. Everything. Even good things. I like cherry pie. I like lemon pie. I like yogurt and bananas mixed together. Everybody goes, yuck. I like them. I think they're real good. Now, if the sisters, out of their own heart and love for me, give me one of these, I'm grateful. And I say, thank you, Jesus. Say, we would thank Jesus when Michelle gave it to you, because he inspired her to give it to me. I thank her, too. But see, everything that happens to us all day long is for our good. Try that. We have another call. Hello?
Hello. Hi, Mother.
Hi.
I just wanted to say we love you, first of all.
Thank you.
And my grandmother just recently passed away, and it's kind of hard right now. And if everything is God's will, and everything is already written, why do we pray to change events in our life, and why do we have a freedom of choice?
Oh, because you have freedom of choice. God really chooses the time we die. We should. He should. He created us. If your grandmother died and you loved her very much, give that pain to him. But God has a right to decide when you're born and when you die. But you see, you have no choice in life or death. You have a choice to do God's will. you have a choice to go with him or against him, because that's freedom. God could never create clones, mechanical people who always did what he wanted. That's not God, because he's generous. And he wants us to have that wonderful freedom of will. See, so I can do evil, but I can do good. I have to choose. So there are many things God gives us the right to do or not to do. But my will should be so united to God's will, I wouldn't want to do anything he didn't want. Why would you? Now, if you do something that's against God's will, especially morally, you can look what he's done. You can get forgiven. You can begin again. You can say, I'm sorry. I disappointed you, Lord. I went against your will by it being immoral. See, our Lord has given us so much to repent. No, the angels had one test. That's it. Oh, I'm glad we don't have one test. Woo! I don't think any of us would have made it. But we, because of Jesus, because of his death and his resurrection and his love, we have many chances. See, so even when I goof, I can come back. See? But the will is a gift. For God to give me free will is a gift, because he has free will. But his will is always awesome, always wise, always good, always forgiving, and always compassionate. And so although God gave us a will, otherwise what would we be like? You wouldn't want somebody that has to love you, would you? Anybody here? Want to be forced to love somebody? You couldn't. You couldn't. And so God gives us free choice. We can love him or not love him. But who would want to? Unless you're really stuck in evil. See? That's another thing. People say, oh God, I don't believe in hell. God never put anybody in hell. You're right. He never did. Man goes to hell because he wants to. Doesn't want to be with God. Doesn't want to be. He loves evil. See? So when God gave you free will, he gave you an awesome gift. An awesome gift. Just you be sure you keep saying yes to him and not no. And remember, your grandmother. To be a grandmother, you have to get up in your years, don't you? I think. Yeah, she's in heaven rejoicing. Don't worry about her. She's okay. Rejoice that she shall see God and rejoice forever and ever. No more pain. No more disappointment. No more tears. Wow. We have another call. Hello?
Hello, Mother.
Hi.
God bless you. You've meant so much to me in my life and drawn closer
Thank
to
you, Jesus.
Thank you so much. My question was kind of two parts. The more I get closer to God, the more I see my faults. And I feel like, I don't know, there must be a fine line. I don't want to be scrupulous, you know, but then again, I don't want to be complacent in my faith. And I want to get like plenary indulgence for myself and or for loved ones in purgatory. But then I wonder, well, if I make, you know, a venial sin, like if I slip and I'm impatient with someone, then can I not receive that indulgence for that person?
Are you scrupulous?
I don't know. Sometimes I'm wondering if I'm being overly something or other. I'm not sure. That's why I wanted to ask you what you thought, Mother.
Well, remember, honey, we're all impatient. We're all everything. That's the consequences of original sin. Have you ever noticed children that may be 1, 2 years old, and all of a sudden another baby comes along? What happened? They don't like it. they're jealous. Did you say that little kid's jealous? Uh-huh. It comes out, you see. It's all there. It comes out. Now, it'll get over it. See? We're all imperfect, but we need to try not to offend God. I don't think because I like cherry pie, God's offended. He gave somebody the grace to make a good one. It's hard to make cherry pie with a gut. But you see, if you make a good one, that's a gift from God. So you don't need to be scrupulous about that. If you're impatient with someone, you might try love. I read not too long ago that this woman's son got under a car. And she ran over and she lifted up that car to get him out. Did she have strength before? No. Where'd she get it? Because that the next day she tried to lift the fender and she couldn't. Love. So when you're impatient and you have all these faults and weaknesses, no, say, God, I don't want them and I love you. Help me to overcome and go your way in peace. Now, if you have some grievous sin, that's different. Go to confession. What would we do if the Lord didn't give us confession? Oh, we'd be in a mess. But see, he's been so good to us and so generous with us that even when we goof off, he's there to help us. I got a picture was given me by the network has Peter sinking in that water. And our Lord's reaching way over there and pulling him up. He does that with you. He does it with me. He does it with everyone. So trust the Lord. And you need to get a little book on his mercy. By Sister Faustina. I'm sure if you went to a good Catholic bookstore, you could find one. Get that book and read it. It'll calm your heart and your mind. Well, you know it's almost time. I have enjoyed being with you. And you know what I'm going to do. You sure do. Because last month, our money was cut in half. Kind of bad. We don't have any cushion, whatever that is. In other words, if we miss 1 month, we don't have anything back here for it. See? So please, if you can, be generous. Will you do that? I know this network is brought to you by you. I think it's the only network in the world that's brought to you by you. This is your network, and I'm here for you, and all the people are here for you. And so all I want to know is I love you. But remember, please, and be generous, huh? Because without you, there is no EWTN. Well, have we got time? We've got 30 seconds. When Brother does this, he's not trying to fight. That means we have 30 seconds. And it doesn't take long to say, I love you. Bye now.